Welcome to episode 3 of the Apprentice series. This is the series where we're asking the question, what did Jesus really start? What did he initiate in the world? And what would it mean for somebody like me to become a part of it? And we are talking about how we can follow Jesus and how we can grow spiritually. And if you're interested in either of those things, then this podcast is very much with you in mind. My name is Becky and...
I'm Chris. Hello, thanks Chris. For having me back.
Well, we thought about getting rid of you, but it was going to be a very lonely podcast episode. No, so in this episode, we're talking a little bit about the mission. You know, what were Jesus's marching orders for himself and his marching orders for anybody who wants to follow him? We talked in the last episode about kind of the ultimate goal of apprenticeship. But what does Jesus actually want us to do? What are his instructions for us? How are you with instructions, Chris? Are you a person who likes to follow instructions? Well,
do you know, I've been reflecting a lot about this. It depends. It depends on what it is. So here's a confession. I have always loved Lego, right? So since I was a small kid, and I still love more adult Lego, but you know, like the Land Rovers and the camper vans and all of that sort of stuff. And because I love those and I love doing them, I'm really good at following the instructions for the Lego. And now they do them, you know, you can download them onto your phone or onto your tablet, as well as the paper ones. And I like to keep, this is how sad I am, if I have a new Lego thing, I like to keep the physical instructions really nice. So I use the app on my tablet to follow. And I'm really good at that because the outcome's really important to me. And because I've had some experiences where I've got it wrong before, I made the entire Lego Land Rover, which is like huge and takes ages, with one instruction that I misfollowed, which was an axle, which meant the wheels didn't turn on the back wheels of the, and I didn't discover this until I'd done the whole thing. So that was an important lesson. So I think where something's important to me and I'm really passionate about the outcome, and where I've maybe had an experience where the outcome wasn't all that I hoped it would be, I think I'm pretty good at following instructions there. In other areas of my life, I'd much rather just get on with it, and I'm not very good at following the instructions of that. And like, I like cooking, and normally I put way more in than the recipe tells me to put in of something, because I think, well, let's just make more of it. That sounds really good, and that usually means it goes wrong.
Yeah.
And you?
Yes, I am a big, I like instructions, and I have a hierarchy of instructions.
Okay.
And much to my husband's horror, it goes, number one is written instructions. Well, no, that's tell a lie. Number one is my mother's instructions. If my mum tells me a certain way that things should be done, I will follow those to the letter.
Okay, cool.
Second is anything written, you know, the IKEA pamphlet or the recipe books, or, you know, that comes next. And unfortunately, my husband's instructions, if he's got a way of doing the flat pack furniture and IKEA's got another way, I'll go with IKEA. If my mum has another way, I'll go with my mum.
So what Matt needs to learn to do is to write down instructions.
Yes.
Or even better, speak to your mum and get her to write down
exactly.
Instructions. And then that's how he's going to get his way in all things in the Banks household. Is that right? Okay. I wonder if he's been listening to this podcast.
Hopefully. He's beginning to hatch his plan, yes. But instructions might feel like an odd thing to be doing in this podcast where we're talking about what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? I think often people who are Christians might find themselves in a situation where they feel instructionless. We might think that we are waiting on God to give us a direction for our lives. So, people might talk about God's plan and waiting to know what God's plan for their life is. Maybe even if you're not somebody who would consider yourself a believer, you are maybe waiting for some sense of divine direction and tell me, what am I here to do? So many of us may feel that we're sort of in limbo waiting for some instructions, but actually Jesus had some pretty clear instructions for anybody who wanted to follow him. And that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So, Chris, do you want to give us a clue about what these...
Well, I want to say I'm really excited about this. I've been excited about the other episodes we've done so far and the ones that are to come. This is the one that I'm most excited about. Well, because I love a mission. I love, you know, a sense of something bigger than myself. I love instructions that are going to lead to a goal that's going to be, you know, amazing, or it's going to mean I've had an impact in some way, or leaving a legacy in some way, or whatever it might be. I think many of us think part of, again, we've talked before on this podcast about the human existence, why it is that, you know, what it means to be fully human. And I think most of us have a sense of there is something beyond myself, you know, again, whether we would call ourselves Jesus followers or not, that there is a bigger thing, there's a bigger purpose to life, or there should be a bigger purpose to life. And I'm excited about this session because here we're talking about what Jesus's bigger purpose for our lives is. Again, coming back to our apprentice model, how do we know what that is? Well, we are incredibly fortunate to have in Jesus somebody who shows us what the bigger purpose, the bigger plan, the bigger mission is. I think it's a really exciting one. And it's one that is about the transformation of cultures, communities, lives, the world, actually. I just think that's really exciting. And episode one, we talked about the invitation to follow Jesus. Well, part of that invitation is to come and be a part of something much bigger than ourselves. And, you know, we're talking about what was this thing that actually Jesus came to start. Well, he came to start a movement that is way bigger than any of us. I don't know whether it's just my personality or whatever, but I think that's really exciting. And I don't think it's just me. I think many of us, most of us, maybe all of us, have a sense of I want a purpose to life that actually goes beyond what so often culture, community, Western world tells us is our purpose to life, which is the accumulation of more or a better quality of life in terms of material things or whatever. So, yeah, I'm really excited to dig around in this today.
So in our last episode, we talked about the goal of apprenticeship, the goal of apprenticeship to Jesus. We talked about it becoming like him. And you might be thinking, well, OK, so we've talked about the goal. How is that distinct from like the mission or this big purpose? And if we just think about it in terms of this apprenticeship language we're using in this podcast, you imagine if you want to apprentice under an electrician, the goal of that is to become like your electrician, the person who is apprenticing you. You become like them in the way they do their job, in the things that they understand, in their way of doing things. But of course, an electrician has a job to do. I'm now going to pitifully reveal my lack of knowledge about what electricians do, but there are circuits that need addressing in the world. There are lighting systems that need fixing, and they have a job to do. And so it would be insane to apprentice under an electrician, become like an electrician, and never go out and fix any lighting systems.
Yes.
Because there's a job to be done. There's something that needs doing in the world. And Jesus was very aware of the fact that there was something that needed to be done in the world.
Yeah.
And we see that kind of right from the off as he initiates his movement, his mission.
Yeah.
That he's got some things that he wants to address, and he calls other people, come along with me and we'll address these things together.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And to take that metaphor again further, the apprentice electrician can be involved in, as they are becoming more like the electrician they're becoming like, that doesn't mean they're not involved in what the mission of the electrician is. So they're involved in the delivery of the lighting system, the rewiring, the power to a place. They're involved in all of that whilst they're becoming like the electrician. And that, again, I think is well, it is the model that Jesus is inviting us into. As you become more like me, you're invited, Jesus says, to share in my mission, which is part of becoming more like me, and you get to be a part of that and learn from it and be engaged in it as part of that apprenticeship journey. So, you know, the apprentice electrician will learn from being on the job, and if they, you know, they might even learn a bit painfully sometimes from that, but they'll learn from that as they're in that that ultimate underlying why. So it's the same with the apprenticing of Jesus.
Day one you begin the job you begin the apprenticeship, don't you? So Jesus launched himself into his public mission, essentially, with this kind of announcement that he said the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of God is at hand, is what some translations put it as in something's coming close, something's right about to happen, something's very close to us, that he called the kingdom of God. How do we make sense of what that is, and how does that impact our understanding of Jesus's mission?
Again, we might not understand the scale of that phrase that he was using, again, with the people he was talking to, the religious people that he was around. I mean, just a really shocking statement to make, that, you know, here it is. They were wondering, thinking about, longing for the kingdom of God to break in on earth. They had certain things they imagined that looked like, and Jesus said, here it is. You know, here is the kingdom of God breaking in on earth. So first of all, you know, what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, God tells us, and again, I think even if you would say, look, I'm not a Jesus follower, if there was a God, I think this is what you'd imagine this might look like. So a perfect world, restored, you know, in all its beauty, no suffering, no pain, you know, restoration of people in terms of a relationship with God, but also relationship with each other, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And Jesus is saying, you know, when I'm around, you know, in me, you are going to get a glimpse, or you are going to see the kingdom of God breaking in on earth. So it's here, it's close. When you see me and you see the things I do and you see the way I am and the relationships that I build and the way I draw people in and the way I reach out to the margins for people who might be on their own or isolated, you know, whatever it might be, you are catching a glimpse then of what it looks like for the kingdom of God to break in on earth. And the really exciting thing is Jesus says to those who would follow him, I want you to be a part of that same thing of seeing the kingdom of God break in, being reflected on earth and being a part of that, which again, I just think is amazing and really exciting.
The person who's helped me the most kind of understand that phrase is an author called John Ortberg, who's written many, many books about what it means to follow Jesus and he uses this apprenticeship, discipleship language a lot, talking about apprenticing under Jesus. And he talks about the kingdom, that all of us have kingdoms, that we have the place where our will is enacted. And when you're little, you're kind of figuring out where the limits of your own kingdom are, and you crash up against the other kingdoms of other people. And actually adults do this all the time, that we're trying to figure out, where can I get my will enacted? And we come up against the wills of others. And the kingdom of God is literally the place where God's will is being enacted. But rather than that coming by force, which is what everybody was expecting at the time, they were expecting the kingdom of God to be kind of a literal battle overthrowing of the powers of the world, in order for God to put a king on the throne of his choosing. But Jesus began to announce this kingdom of God coming in a very different way, not by force, but by people following him and enacting God's will for their lives and doing the things that God would do in their shoes. In the world. So talk a bit about what that looked like. What did it look like as Jesus went about bringing about the kingdom of God, and how did he get his followers involved in that?
Well, I think actually, again, through the amazing pictures we have painted for us of Jesus, the accounts of his life, all that kind of stuff, we get to see, read, hear what Jesus was trying to do. He told us what he was trying to do. And for me, there are two critical moments in the life and ministry of Jesus where we really see that with utter clarity. And one is when he's having a meet up with a guy called Zacchaeus, who was a short guy and who wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. Jesus was traveling through his town. And he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbs a tree. Long story short, Jesus goes and says, right, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your place. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Everybody hated him, so everybody's muttering, why would he go and be with Zacchaeus when he could be with any of us and we're much better and all that sort of stuff. And Jesus sort of looks around, hears the mutterings and murmurs and said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He had other priorities in his life. The kingdoms of his life had crowded out any prospect of the kingdom of God being a priority in his life. The kingdoms of this world had crowded that out in his life. And Jesus says, you know, to him, I want to build a relationship with you, Zacchaeus. I want to bring you back into relationship with God, relationship with other people. And he says to all the people who are moaning about that, no, this is exactly why I've come, to seek and to save those who are lost. And Zacchaeus was lost. So there's that just beautiful picture there of Jesus telling us in no uncertain terms, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm here for, which again, for me, you know, there are so many areas of my life where I feel lost. There are, you know, with times in my life where I had no real understanding of God and how he felt about me, all that kind of stuff. I'm lost. I'm kind of wandering around. So it's such good news that Jesus says, I've come for people who are lost, because the reality is all of us have been lost or are lost. And some of our listeners may be feeling that way today. And I just want to say, you know, that's why Jesus came, for people who are lost or feeling lost. So that's number one, a lovely, amazing encounter. And the number two encounter is actually with Jesus's closest friends, when they're having all this big argument about who's the most important amongst them, which is like, can you imagine that when you've got Jesus amongst you and you're having a fight about who's second in charge, almost kind of thing. And Jesus says, look, you know, I've come to serve. And that's what it looks like to follow me is to, and we talked a lot about that yesterday, you know, the Son of God, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve is the language that's recorded for us. And he said, so Jesus really makes it very clear. He says, you know, his mission, his reason for being around is to seek and save the lost and to serve people. And if people around our church are bored with me saying this, but I'm not going to stop because it's so, so important that Jesus came to save and to serve. And if that was his mission and those were his primary, you know, that was his primary mission, then that ought to be ours too. If we're apprenticing Jesus, if we've responded to his invitation to follow him, then that means being involved in the mission to save and to serve.
So it's kind of us taking on the way that Jesus almost diagnosed the problems in the world around us, that Jesus, we can see from all these interactions, like with Zacchaeus, like with so many people who he encountered who were ostracized, who were sick, who were alone, who were who had just got so caught up in their own mess that they just isolated themselves from everybody else around them. We see in Jesus this concern for people who were kind of cut off from eternity and cut off from community. And by that, I mean people who had cut themselves off from a relationship with God, who had so wrapped themselves up in their own lives and in their own concerns and in their own selfishness that they could no longer access and relate to their perfect, infinite Heavenly Father, who desired a relationship with them, but who they had strayed so far from. And Jesus had a concern for people who were cut off from community, who for financial reasons or job reasons or because of their disabilities had been taken out of community, had been shunned, had been isolated, and couldn't find their place back in relationship with other people. And Jesus restored both of those things. He sought to restore people's people's eternity, people's life in God, restore them back to a relationship with their Heavenly Father, take away all the mess that was getting in the way of that, and give them a way back to being able to relate to their perfect God, and restore people in community. He took away the shame and all the stuff that made people feel ostracized and literally didn't give people an opportunity to connect with others. And in every interaction he was always restoring people in those two ways, into a relationship with God again, and into a relationship with others again, and into a world, so that they could then be part of mission and do the job that Jesus wanted them to do. And I just love that's a mindset that we're invited into, is to have a concern for where people stand in relation to eternity. And by that, I simply mean, do people know that there's a God who loves them and who has a life for them, and who they can trust themselves to and their whole life to? And do people know that there's an opportunity to be restored into community, into relationships that can work and can thrive as we follow Jesus and do relationships the way that he does them? And that's a concern Jesus invites his followers to have for the world. And I think it's a pretty good diagnosis of most of the problems in this world, is when people cut themselves off from any idea of the infinite, of any idea that there is more to humanity, more to this world, more to life, that there is a God who we're accountable to and who we can know and be known by. People who get cut off or are cut off, cut themselves off from relationship, from community with others. That's a pretty good diagnosis of a lot of the things that are going wrong in our world and a lot of things that go wrong in our lives, and an invitation to be on mission and work to rectify that. If there was something to give your time to, it would be that, wouldn't it?
I love the language you're using there, by the way, just to spot that, of Jesus' capacity to diagnose the problems, and then his mission to be the medicine, whatever language you want to use, to meet that diagnosis with the solution. I think that's fantastic, and just a great image for us. And I wonder too whether we might not like to use that language about ourselves of being lost. But I think actually it's a really good, it's again a really good diagnosis of where so many of us are, actually, that we are, we're lost really in many different ways, and so that idea of God reaching out to us through his son, through Jesus, and saying, actually, I love the language of seeking. Jesus is looking out for those who are lost, to restore them, to help them be found, and invites us into that same mission. I just think is amazing. Mm. And again, I just want to push. Once or twice in each episode, we've just pushed a little bit, and said, look, And again, the challenge I would give here would always be to myself as a Christian, as a Jesus follower, as a church leader. And I think Christians and church leaders and stuff need to be challenged on this, to say, are Jesus's priorities our priorities? Are they our priorities in our lives? And are they our priorities in our churches? And I think we would have to be honest enough to admit they have not always been. It has not always been the priority of our churches to emphasize that we are here to help and to be on that mission to seek and to save the lost. If we're, again, let's be really honest, in our churches, oftentimes we've gone, actually, we live as if our primary mission is to only be together with other people who are Jesus followers, and to prioritize the needs of the Jesus followers, and to just kind of keep the world at bay while we live in our little huddle and are quite content with that. And I think, again, we have to be honest enough to admit that churches and Christians left to our own devices. This is a quote from guy's name's escaping me. It'll come back to me any minute now. We left to our own devices. We tend to turn inward, and look and to do stuff for ourselves, to look to make our own lives better or more comfortable, rather than the Jesus perspective, which is to look outward. And James Emery White, there we are, it's come to me eventually, says churches left to their own devices will turn inward, and we have to say that's true. So again, okay, let's keep responding to the following the Jesus way. The thing that Jesus came to start was an outward focused mission and endeavor, we must always remember that. I think it's the most exciting thing to be part of. I think churches are at their most exciting when they are outward focused. I think as a Jesus follower, life is most exciting when I'm outward focused, because I become much more reliant on God, much more passionate about maintaining and growing a great relationship with God, because otherwise what am I offering when I'm looking outward?
As we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, about having a job from day one of apprenticing, is actually, you can so easily see how aligning ourselves with this job, with this mission, with these priorities, forms us more into being who Jesus has called us to be. So all that stuff we talked about in the previous episode of becoming like Jesus, we don't need to wait to sort of get our character up to scratch and then start the job. And in fact, if we try to become like Jesus without making his priorities our priorities, there's going to be a bit that's out of sync there. That actually, by taking on this job that he started and that he invites us to be part of, we're going to be by default becoming more and more like him, because we're doing the things, we're prioritizing as he prioritized, and that shapes us, doesn't it? Our priorities shape us, and the things that we put our energy into and put our time into and our planning and our effort, they shape us.
I think that's so important, and I think again there's a phrase that I've been using around here at our church a little bit, which is that we are never more like Jesus. And, you know, we've been saying that's the goal of apprenticing, you know, we are never more like Jesus than when we are on mission with Jesus, when we are seeking to do the things that he did. So seek and save the lost and serve others. We're never more like Jesus than when we do that. And actually we grow so much faster, I think, in our relationship with Jesus when we're prioritizing that mission in our lives. And I think that we become much more dependent on Jesus when we've got that missional outward kind of focus to be on mission with him. So, you know, sometimes again we get challenged sometimes in church stuff, people who are Christians, and say, well, it's all very well prioritizing, you know, people who don't know God, what are you going to do to help me grow my relationship with Jesus? And I'm increasingly responding to that these days by encouraging you to play a full and active part in a church community that is prioritizing reaching the lost and serving people, because you are never more like Jesus than when you do that. So by prioritizing that as a church and inviting you into that, we are actually doing the best thing we could do to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And that's been a mindset shift for me, and probably in the last 5 years or so, to say these things are not mutually, they're not mutually exclusive. We're not either trying to help people discover Jesus who don't yet know him, or helping people who do know Jesus to grow more. No, it's the same thing, and one facilitates the other. So yeah, and I don't think we're never more like Jesus than we are when we are prioritizing and sacrificing for other people and for the lost, the lonely, the hurting, the disenfranchised. We're never more like him than when we're doing that, as we've seen already in this podcast.
Yeah. In a moment, I'd love for you to wrap up for us by helping us with how do we make that sort of brave move of making that our priority and beginning to go after, seeking and saving the lost, as Jesus has taught us to. But just one final thought before you do that, maybe one of the first mindset shifts we need in this is to, as you've already said, Chris, all of us can resonate with this feeling of being lost, to reconnect and empathize with that feeling of being lost, and not thinking about lost as a sort of other category that is very separate from us, or sort of us and theming people in our community or in the world around us, but just connecting with that, though, all the feelings that we have all experienced, the times in our lives where we have felt lost, where we felt like we've been shunned, where we felt like we don't know what to do, or where we felt like we've cut ourselves off from the people around us, or we've just made too much of a mess and don't know how to get out of it. Just to remember that and stay connected to that memory, and empathize and understand that, you know, a lot of the stuff we're talking about in this podcast, this is a human project, not a Christian project. Yes. As in, it's about what it means to be human, and it's about going from a human that is struggling to figure it out without God to a human that is walking with Jesus. So let's think about our fellow human beings and relate to one another as people who have all experienced lostness.
Yes.
In order that we might be compassionate and actually be helpful and effective. Yes. In relating to those who we might be seeking to serve and save.
Yeah. And I think to pick up on that point, we were talking one of the first couple of episodes about this in this podcast, about how Jesus humbled himself to serve others and that kind of stuff. Well, part of our following that, part of our humbling of ourselves, is to acknowledge our lostness and not to think, if you're a Jesus follower, oh, well, I'm all sorted. Actually, we are all lost in different places, and that part of that journey to humility, which is so attractive, I think, to other people, is to acknowledge our own lostness and need for being reached out to by Jesus, which again is a much better posture if we're seeking to be on mission with Jesus to help other people in their lostness. It's a much better posture to do that from a position of mutuality of lostness, rather than, oh, well, I'm sorted, let me drag you up kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. So any next steps for people off the back of this episode?
Yes, definitely. One of the things Jesus said after he died and was resurrected from the dead, one of his first encounters with lots of his friends and his disciples, his apprentices, he said to them, as the Father has sent me, as the mission that I have been sent on my Father, so I am sending you. So the language of sending is really important there, I think. So I think our next steps come in the framework of this amazing thing that God has done. I mean, how, again, utterly mind-blowing is it to think that as the Son of God was sent to earth, so Jesus' followers are sent out into the world. I mean, that just, you know, boggles my small mind, that I am being sent out, we are being sent out in the same way that Jesus was sent by his Heavenly Father. That's just amazing. We could talk about that for a long time, I reckon. But that language of sending. So our next step, I think, from today is to remember that we are being sent out into the world. My friend Nick Cuthbert, a church leader, author, brilliant person who I think the world of, he talks about the fact that Jesus went about life and went about encountering people and all that kind of stuff, and was Jesus as he went about life. Nick uses the phrase as he was wazzing about, and I love that. So our sending, it isn't for most of us about, you know, going somewhere else, or it's about living life as sent people, not as just people who are just doing life. So I think I would want to encourage all of our listeners today to remember that bigger purpose, that whatever life holds for you, whatever work looks like for you, family looks like for you, studying, school, you know, whatever it might be looks like for you, retirement looks like for you, whatever that might be, you're going out into life as a sent person, as Jesus was sent, so we are being sent. So wake up every day remembering that, and as you go about your life, as you was about, make sure you are looking to bring Jesus with you into the situation, which is about seeking and saving and serving. So what are the opportunities? What are the moments? Let's not be weird and creep everybody out and all of that kind of stuff, but let's just watch for where's the opportunity to reach out to somebody, to serve them, to be introduce Jesus to them, I would love for people just to be praying and saying, where, God, as I go about my life, help, please don't let me miss those moments where there's an opportunity for me just to be on mission with Jesus in these moments, to be praying for people you would love to be a part of, reaching out with the love of God to. And I think we will be amazed when we adopt that attitude with how many opportunities we see there are.
I think that is a good challenge to be going on with. I love that, having that mindset of I'm sent into wherever I am today, with a job to do, with a purpose, that is greater than all the other secondary purposes that I might have in my day. What a difference that could make. And how might we grow as we do that? That's like, how would that change and transform us in the process? That's what I'm excited by.
I think again, we'll be shocked by how that will grow us.
So that's it for this episode. We hope that it's inspired you. We hope it's challenged you. We will be back here for another episode, as we continue on this journey of figuring out what was this thing that Jesus started on the Apprentice Series podcast. Thank you so much, Chris. And thank you for sharing all your excitement about this topic with us today. It's been, it's always great to hear someone speak about their passions.
Thank you. Yeah. I really enjoyed it and I hope it's helpful.
Good.
Not so much a gentle landing as a crash into the runway.
That's why you have outro music.
Yes, yes.